this. You want to know how to find it. Seek it out when they hide it. You know it's in the bag when it's an easy grab. But come on, take a chance now. So go, 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 geocache, geocache. And if you need help, we're right there in a flash. If you got a question, just call in and ask. Uncover the stash on the Geocaching Podcast. The Geocaching Podcast. Welcome to the Geocaching Podcast, episode 456, recorded live on June 22nd, 2016. I'm your host, Head Hard Hat with
Taz427, and hopefully with Scott Burks in a moment.
He'll be back in a second. Just hang on to your hats. He's personally beating on the router with a baseball bat as we speak. But before that, you can join our chat room and watch our live video stream, plus participate with us as we record this episode. All this and more can be found at www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. Be sure to contact us via our voicemail line at 630-31-VOICE, and also find us on Twitter at geocachingpodcast.com/Twitter and Facebook at geocachingpodcast.com/Facebook. This episode is sponsored by our good patrons of the Geocaching Podcast. To become a contributing patron, simply click on our Patreon logo on our webpage to help keep our podcast going. From all of us at the Geocaching Podcast, we thank you. Yeah, so Scott's actually having a bunch of bad thunderstorms, like somebody I know last week, where we were having a whole series of really bad storms blowing through here. He's got tornadoes. We had tornadoes. It's that time of year. And that's how it goes, folks, when you got live. And there he goes. All right, so I'm here by myself for the people listening on the podcast. Scott's probably trying to get his way in, and Taz's going to go try to get his reconnection. So why don't we just jump into this and see what's going on next. Right now, banter-wise, we go through, and I had a couple of lunchtime geocaches this week. It's been hot here. So I can imagine pretty much all over the country they're having their issues when it comes to weather. Like tomorrow, for example, it's supposed to be 101 degrees. And so it's been really hot going out and trying to find geocaches in weather like this. Okay, here comes Scott. Now we got a race to see who's going to get in.
Hello.
Hey, are you there?
I'm here. What's up, man?
Okay, so you can hear me all right?
I can now, yeah.
All right, let me get the command room here. And for the people listening to us, it's been technical difficulties. So I'm going to raise Scott up so he's a little louder. And Taz,
hello.
You don't have to go too high. I got you back. All right, Chaz is back now.
I hope so.
All right, there we go. So now we've got Scott and Chad back.
I'm here.
All right, so there we go. So like I said, we'll edit the blank spots out. And for the people watching the video, you can appreciate and laugh along and point. I'm used to it.
Did you play the music?
Did I miss the music? Yeah, you missed. We did the intro for you. So right now we were going to talk about how we did geocaching this week. And I told the fine folks, weather has definitely been a factor with it being close to triple digits. And Chad's been in triple digits. And Scott's right now going through tornadoes and severe thunderstorms.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we had the 90s all weekend. It was a really hot, hot weekend. Now it's just crappy weather.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm happy to be back, by the way. Hi, welcome, guys.
Hey, good stuff. Back. Good to have you back.
Yeah, my son got injured. So it's a win for everybody but him. That's what it is. He got a bad sprain on his ankle farting around with his buddies. And so not even baseball related. So
I thought you had him in like a bubble or something, making sure that he was going to stay.
For the amount of money that we pay for this league, I should have been in a bubble. You know, but he was out last game, and he's out this game tonight. Although it's pouring rain, I'm sure his game is over. So I'm glad it didn't go. I'm sure he's glad he didn't play, because I don't think they got the whole game in. So he'll play next game. He's just out two games with a bad ankle.
Hopefully he'll get back in the swing of things.
Yeah, I mean, he's all right. He took a couple of days off from camp because he goes to sports camp, and you know what the hell's he gonna do with sports camp? So he's been staying home playing PS4 all day. So he's fine. It's perfectly fine.
Awesome. Now you've got a gift from some people that you want to do a plug for.
I do. Hey guys. So everybody, if anybody remembers my my plight with my poison ivy from the last time I was on the show, which is about a couple weeks ago, wasn't it? I think it was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And so a horrible case of poison ivy. And look, guys, it's actually much better. As you can see, I don't know if you remember from last time, it's almost gone here. Completely just gone on that arm, and it's all gone off my face now and down my schmeckle area.
I was going to say, how's the rest doing?
A ton better, yeah. I'm not in any more pain anymore. So I think it was a tweet, I think it was, that from Sandy here. I'm gonna plug the card right there from Max Suds. She's Team Orville, Sandy McDougal, and she has maxsudssoap.com. It's M-A-C soap, Suds, I'm sorry, maxsudssoap.com. And she sent me a tweet saying, hey, you know, I got stuff for you if you want it. I said, absolutely, send me stuff. I'll take anything. I'm like dying over here, you know. And so she's like, oh, give me your address. I'll have it to you in a couple of days. So she sent me poison ivy stuff. She sent me bug spray. All her, you know, she makes it herself. She sent me soaps. And Jesse loves this stuff. Jesse's raving about it. She raved about it on Facebook, actually. And it's great. It totally worked. I mean, it totally helped with this. And the best part about it is that, you know, I bought stuff in the in Walgreens for my poison ivy, and it smells like just crap.
Yes.
It smells like chemicals. This stuff is like fruity smell. It smells great, so it's not bad at all, and it helps, so it's awesome. So it's Max Sud soap, guys. I'm gonna plug this here if you can see it. It's, you know, facebook.com/macsudsoap, instagram.com/maxsudsoap, and it's maxsudsoap.com.
Excellent. Good stuff.
She's awesome. Yeah. So thank you, Sandy, so much for giving me stuff. Totally helped. Jesse loves it. I love it. It's great. Jesse uses the soap every day, just so you know, Sandy, in case you're curious. So it's awesome. We love it. Thank you so much.
I have to ask, though, the meeting, because I remember 2 weeks ago when you did the show, you were talking about the next day you had to do a meeting. How'd that go?
Oh, yeah, my meeting with my bosses, yeah. Well, my boss told the bosses about it beforehand, and I made sure I wore long sleeves, so it wasn't too bad. You know, it was just basically my neck. Looked like I had a hickey on my neck, more or less, is what I looked like. Because my eye was not swollen anymore. So, yeah, it basically looked like a hickey. But you see, I grew the beard back, so I didn't have a beard, so I started growing the beard back, so you can't. But it's not there anymore. I mean, it's all completely gone now.
That's good. So. I'm just glad you're feeling better. So, Taz, Taz, how about yourself? How have you been for the past couple weeks?
It's been it got warm out here, so hitting triple digits. I did make it out to go grab a Where I Go, a traditional question and a puzzle, and I went for an FTF. So about 4:45, a puzzle or a cache popped not too far from work, and it's like,
Uh-oh. He'll come back. Good story done.
Get there, and nobody's around, and, you know, it was only about a mile and a half from work, so I figured there's a good chance of getting it. It's already been signed. It's like, damn it.
Missed it by one.
Right.
Yeah. So I think the person must have pulled away. I think I saw the person pulling away when I parked, and I think that had to have been the person because it hadn't been published, but about 10 minutes before I signed the log.
Oh, so you do have some first to find hounds out there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow. And you've got triple-digit stuff for how long now?
Well, we've only been in the triple digits for, I think, the past 3 days, but it's the outlook is of triple digits. So.
Yeah. It's going to be hot this summer.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think we had any 90-degree days, you know? And I'm driving to my T-ball game on Monday, and it's 95 degrees.
I know, and it's ridiculous.
God, I got to coach a T-ball game.
But, you know, it's like walking out into a dry sauna as opposed to in Houston walking out into a wet sauna.
Yeah, that wonderful feeling of that wet, warm blanket is so much fun.
So we just have humidity up the wazoo here. It's just like you can't even breathe. Wow. It's the kind you could literally cut it with a knife. You could, like, cut it.
Wish it was that easy.
Yeah, it's just still.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to the podcast roundup, letting our viewers know what's going on in the geocaching podcasting community. And what's coming up this week for GeoGearheads is GeoGearheads 234, geocaching.com, search one. It's back to the lily pad again as we learn more about the geocaching.com search. And that's Daryl, and that'll be on Thursday tomorrow. But before you go to them, make sure you check out the GeoSnippets Reboot podcast on Thursdays, where we are going through. We had a couple of people send in saying thank you so much. They read some of the old blog posts that I had about trackables. And they said especially about geocoins and path tags. And, by the way, how do you make an actual travel bug. So tomorrow we're going to be doing and showing some basics on making your own geocaching travel bugs, and also some ideas and different places to look for X tags and path tags and what you're going to need to do that. And if you got the dough, go out and do some geocoins as well. So that's tomorrow night on the GeoSnippets Reboot podcast.
All right. Wait. Hold on. Let me segue out of that.
Okay. So.
Speaking of travel bugs, I want to talk about my travel bug. I have an update on my Fisher-Price man.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
As everybody remembers my Fisher-Price man. He's the one that I made. He's the one that I did live on the show. I showed everybody, hey, I'm going to put this out. I put it out, the Great Space Coaster. And what I did, I'm trying to get it to Mark in England from OB. That's why I'm trying to get it to Nottingham, England. And so where is it, you ask? It's finally moved again. It's moving.
All right.
So it is a – the problem is that a cacher name, it's somebody within the sound of my voice knows this guy. Then the guy's name is Frogdog10, FROGDOG10. Frogdog10 has my Fisher-Price guy, and what he's doing is he's taking it to caches with him. He's not dropping it, he's just taking it to caches.
Oh, they're dipping.
So he's dipping it, and I guess he's getting him numbers, but he's held them for like a month. He's had him a month.
Is he in a particular area or state?
So I dropped him off in Florida. I live in Illinois. I dropped him off in Florida. He's in Ohio. He's coming back to me. I might as well go pick him up and just mail him the mark. Yeah, I tried to get him as far away from me as could. I thought Florida was pretty good. It's across the freaking country, and he came back.
Well, it happens. It happens. But wouldn't it be cool if he did get it back?
Yeah, I know. How crazy would that be? So my Fisher-Price man is on the move. He's being dipped from cache to cache. Frogdog10 in Ohio has got my guy.
All right.
So anybody who knows Frogdog, tell him to drop it.
And one of the things that's very important when you read about travel bugs is check out their goal. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
It helps. We'll be discussing that tomorrow, too.
There you go. There's my Fisher-Price
man. Excellent. Good stuff. All right. Now, one of the things that I have seen a lot over the past couple of days, I don't know exactly when this happened. This was actually published today, so it must have happened last night. You know the big stir about when people found out that Hugh Jackman went out and did some geocaching, and everybody went crazy. Well, on Jerry Kimmel last night, Liev Schreiber. Now, speaking of Marvel characters, if you watched Wolverine Origins and you saw Wolverine and his semi-brother Sabretooth, that's right. Liev Schreiber. And
yeah, so Hugh and Liev were both in that movie.
Yes, and I don't know if that was when they introduced it into him. It sounded like... Now, I'm going to actually play... I hope nobody worries about copyright. But I'm going to play a little snippet of Liev actually talking about geocaching. You can tell he... Apparently, the kids must have found out about it and said, hey, Dad, let's go. And they're doing this in New York. And because he kind of knew what was geocaching, but you can kind of tell he didn't have all the facts. So let me see if I can play this and if it's going to go over to the board here. Let me get this. Hang on just a sec. Here we go.
Oh, they did. Oh, good. Sasha thought they were all talking a little too fast and
right.
Didn't quite understand it, but,
right.
But he enjoyed it. I mean, he enjoyed the singing and the spectacle and the rapping.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah.
Yeah. But then we went geocaching in Central Park, which if you have ever heard of this, it's the most amazing thing.
Tell me exactly, because I know kind of what it is.
There's
but not
this
exactly.
community of people who hide things and then they give you the coordinates and there's these puzzles and you find things. You know, they'll be under a rock or in the hole of a tree. And we made a list of seven things that we could find. And what you do is inside the little box, usually like it's an ammo cache, inside it, there'll be a logbook, and you can take something or leave something. And we didn't know that you were supposed to leave something. And of course, the boys wanted to take things.
So right, yeah. Taking is more fun.
To look at you. So they immediately began to search around on the ground for something that they could put in. And I said, no, it has to be something that means something from you.
Yeah.
And Sasha finds a shell casing from a 9mm bullet, which, of course, because we're in New York. In
on the street in New York? Oh, my God.
So it's great for all the German tourists who come here geocaching.
Wow. And so who are these people that do this? And they just do it out of the goodness of their hearts? Or why do they put stuff in there?
I have no idea. But I suspect they feel international. They feel...
And are you given, like, latitude and longitude?
Yeah, or? And you put it in the phone, and the kids love the phone.
So yeah,
sure. They really enjoy. They get to, you know, walk around like this until they bump into something.
And what do you get? Like, what kind of stuff did they leave?
Well, you leave like a card from your hometown. I mean, after we put the bullet casing in, I said, come on, guys. We went to a souvenir shop, and we got some magnets that said New York.
Oh.
So that people would know them. That's where we were from.
Right. So you don't, like, chop off a finger and leave it in there or anything like that?
I only just started geocaching.
Yeah, yeah.
I
am
Jimmy. So there you go. That was pretty interesting. You know, it sounds like the kid said, "Hey, let's go geocaching and go." And actually, I've heard of quite a few people that that have geocached around Central Park and had a blast. I guess there's a lot of them around there.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, there's a coin for it, isn't there?
Yeah, I think so. There's stuff at each of the entrances, and I forgot what some of the other stuff that was going on.
I don't think there's a multi too in there, like a big multi.
Yeah. So it sounds like they had fun. Kind of got the idea. They actually picked out the right swag after they figured out the 9mm may not be the best, and go from there. But I just thought that was cool. So there you go, folks. Another celebrity hitting into the world and spreading the word on late night television about geocaching. Good stuff.
You know, makes sense for Ray Donovan leaving a 9mm shell casing in an ammo can.
Hey, you know, it's New York. What are you going to say? Forget about it.
Yeah, but you know what? It's good to see it like on TV and not in a bad light.
Yeah, it's actually a good light. You notice that they just kind of sat back and listened. It was interesting. It was kind of cool how that went.
Yeah.
All right, good stuff. All right, tonight's episode 456, cool geocaching links. This actually started off a while ago with Daryl W4, and things just kind of got moved around over the past couple of weeks with staffing, and we didn't do a show last week, what have you. So Daryl actually was going to be on tonight, and unfortunately he has been sick as a dog all week and just couldn't come on. So some of the links that we have on here, it's just basically cool links that if you're a geocacher, you very well may be interested in. So I think what I'll do is hit some, and we'll just kind of randomly be like Christmas and open up the links and see what it's about and go from there. Because we got a cool list, and we'll put all of them, even if we don't touch, you know, most of them, we'll have it in the show notes for you as well. One of the ones that I thought was really interesting, we actually talked about it on the Geo Snippets Reboot podcast several months ago, and this was really cool. It's a link to Project GC, and basically you can just go to projectgc.com, and you go into Tools, and then in Tools you find Not Logged, and in there is a list. You can basically pick, I want to see how many. You have a choice between different cache locations all around the world. And what it is, when you open it up, and I'll bring it up here for me so I can see what we have on here. When you bring it up, it shows all the geocaches, like say pick the entire United States, pick any state that you want, and you bring it up, and it literally brings up all the geocaches that have not been found. Ever. And when you open up the, and I'm trying to bring it up here, if when you open it up, and it's going to run for a little bit here, it's huge. There's thousands and thousands and thousands of geocaches that literally nobody's ever found. And it's amazing to me how many that are in here that you go through. And the cool thing is it's got a live map. you can go through and zoom in. There are whole trails.
Really?
That are out there, like in the United States. I mean, once it actually comes up, it takes a few minutes or a few seconds for it to pop up, and it's a live map. So when you zoom in on things, there are whole trails out there with hundreds of caches nobody has ever found.
Why?
I don't know.
Where is this trail you speak of that's elusive golden goose?
Okay, if you look in, and I think it was Utah, I'm bringing it up here. We're going to yell at Corey because this is where some of this is. But it's so dense, you have to zoom in continuously to bring them in. And there's just lines of these things. Let me see if I can bring some up here. There's a lot on the West Coast. They're all over the United States. And if you check out your state, you're going to find a bunch of them in there that – nobody's ever found. It's like, I don't understand. All the geocaches that they say that are in the world that are active, the percentage of the ones that are out there that haven't been found yet. For all you first to find fiends that want to go out there and just do solid, you know, going and finding first to finds, like Mr. Scott, who's on month
89. I'm struggling. I'm 22 days into June. I've yet to have my FTL.
Okay. Well, we should check out.
That will be 90 months, dude.
Yeah.
90 months.
All right.
But of course, Jesse, seeing the bright side of things, she's like, well, 89 is a good number to end on.
All right. So let me see. So I'm going to just for kicks, Scott is in Illinois. So let's bring up Illinois.
I'm in Illinois.
All right, so I'm going to bring up Illinois on this. I don't know if you guys have a map going of it or not.
I do not. No. All right. I tried to punch into it earlier today, and I couldn't.
Okay, so I'm going to just add the filter for here. Let's see how many that are not found.
Well, like four just went live. I was on with you. So there's at least four. I don't think anybody's got them yet. It's pretty crappy out right now.
Yep, but let's see. Just it takes a minute or two for this to come up. But if you've got some time. We've got the, like I said, just go to Project GC out of the tools area and the not found. Okay, let's see. How many we got in Illinois? I just brought it up. It takes a little time for it to get through.
I guess most of them are like difficulty fives is my assumption, or terrain fives.
Something. Let's see. Right now there's 45 geocaches. And Scott, right now, I kid you not. Let me see if I can zoom in a little because the 45? There are 45 in Illinois and there's
45 caches in Illinois.
All right, I'm just zooming into the Chicago area.
Chicago area? How many?
1,
Chicago?
2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15.
They're on Buffalo Grove. They're all Darth Livio stuff. 16. Look north of Chicago.
North of Chicago. Evanston, let's see.
Keep going.
Arlington Heights.
There you go. That's right. Just a little further north is Buffalo Grove.
Okay, there's five of them right there.
Yeah, that's all Darth. That's all Darth Leviosa. Yeah.
Yeah, that's all five of them there. And
I am way more. I'm west of that.
Yeah.
I'm an Elgin. I'm west.
Okay.
I'm about 30 miles west.
So, needless to say, there is a bunch.
Oh yeah.
Within 20 miles.
They're mostly puzzles, and you know they're like five puzzles.
Two of them here are puzzles, and three are traditional. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to pull one up here. One's called the Drone of the Leviathan.
No, that's Drone of Levitation, dude.
Okay, Levitation.
You have to have a drone to get it. Look at the difficulty terrain on it.
It's a 1-5.
Yeah, that's because you have to have a drone. It's an unclimbable tree, 60 feet up the tree.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. Well, I'll get right on that.
Just get the drone. There's another one called No Comment, just southwest of
No Comment is the Darth Leviosa. Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. There's another one called Piece of Cake.
Piece of Cake is, I think, a Darth Leviosa.
Okay. And then Break Into Electronic Boogaloo.
Electric Boogaloo. That's also a Darth Leviosa.
Okay. Yeah. So those haven't been found yet.
This is the thing with Darth Leviosa, is that he's got these puzzles that the only way to possibly solve them is to know what he's thinking the moment that he made them. That's how you do it. So basically, the only people who solve his puzzles are his friends, because he gives them hints and whatnot. Everybody else doesn't. We just wait for somebody to finally get the cords, and they pass the cords around, and nobody go gets it. But like, because like, you have to be in his mind to actually know. Like, they're unsolvable, literally unsolvable puzzles.
Wow.
Because you don't know what he's thinking. You know. So. Yeah. Good guy, though.
All right, good stuff. There's another one in here for a link that goes to the new, and I'm not going to go too much into it because this is actually what Daryl's going to talk about tomorrow, so I won't get to it too much. But just to give you a little teaser of it, there's a introducing worldwide search. Planet Earth is now officially your play field. And they have added up a bunch of things to help you when it comes to find geocaches. Mm-hmm. It says now just with a few clicks, you can see a leaderboard of the most favored geocaches and learn how many Train 5 geocaches there are in the world. So all you do is pretty much they've made it a lot easier for you to go out and find the geocaches you want on a larger basis. I wonder what
Groundspeak's page?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
I never use a search option. I hate it.
They've improved it, I guess. They've got about 6 videos to help you with the different things that you need to do for it and go from there. But, you know, you click on search for geocaches and away you go. So they've cleaned things up.
Okay.
They've added things that I like, you know, that it's not always the same search. They have their own type of proprietary searches that are out for a certain amount of time, like finding nearby events. June is Get Outdoors Month. They'll go find out geocaches this way. Another one's Discover the Best Geocaches Near You. So they're trying, at least, and I like that. I appreciate it.
Did they officially kill the old search? You know how they used to have like the little link at the bottom?
Nope,
like,
you can still, there's a link that says, take me to the old search.
Oh, thank God. Oh, it's not dead yet. Good. Okay.
All right. So those are the two that that I started off with. You guys want to pick one and we'll just kind of go over some of these that Daryl has?
I can go over the Rumpkin
website,
basically. Rumpkin Cipher Tools for puzzle solvers and hiders. This is one of my favorite sites when I'm trying to figure out someone's ciphered code inside there. They got all kinds of different ciphering tools, deciphering tools, everything from your generic ROT13 to AtBash and Brain Bleeper and Playfair and a bunch of other different ciphers. They also, if you go around the website, I believe they have some extra tools for projections, GPS-based tools on there as well. I don't tend to use those from that site, but you know, it's a great site. It used to be called, all these tools used to be hosted on a site called Purple Hell, but I believe all those tools are now on Rumpkin. If you were familiar with Purple Hell before,
Yeah, they even do cryptograms, letter frequency, text manipulators. Now, if you've got Android, I don't know if it comes out on iOS or not, but the geocaching calculator that they have, GCC, that is awesome. If you like ciphers of just about anything, I lost count how many different ones they've got on that thing.
I never go caching without it.
Yep.
Is Purple Hell still around?
No, the site lost its subscription about 4 or 5 years ago, and then about a few months later, Rumpkin came on board, and it's a copy of those same web tools. They've added some stuff since then, but.
That's cool. I love it. You know, anytime, especially for the people that do love doing puzzle caches and that, this is a way to go.
Definitely.
Excellent. All right. Yeah, I'm not a puzzle cache person. I've never seen that page before in my life. But I said, Jesse, look at this. She's like, yeah, I am.
Like, thanks for pointing it out, Scott. Speaking of like, which,
look at this cool page.
All right, I'll let you pick one.
Go ahead and do the next one too. All right. The geocaching puzzle of the day. It's a great little website that every day they host a new puzzle cache of the day. Plus, they got a lot of extra nice hints and stuff on how to solve puzzle caches. It's a pretty nice little website there. And if you search for a wet sweater, You'll find the one time that I was on the geocaching puzzle of the day. So for my puzzle cache, what sweater bra stuck?
What? So, I'm sorry. Wait.
Yes. I had a cache that was published on that they published on here for the geocaching puzzle of the day on March 16th of 2014. And it wasn't because it was the hardness of the puzzle, but it was because of the quirky name. It's something that catches your eye. So when it says wet sweater hyphen bra stuck, you know, it kind of catches your eye. But that's actually an anagram for Sweetwater and Starbucks. So it was at a star. So Starbucks location out Sweetwater Boulevard. So and you know, basically, I thought it was a kind of unique idea to make an anagram of the location and the place where the cache was at, and then use that anagram information to solve for where the final was.
Wow, that definitely
so
not.
When I put in Sweetwater, and I sweater was one of the things, and they're like, "Well, that's kind of interesting." Put in Starbucks, and it's like, "Bra stuck." It's like, "Huh, I can make a joke out of that."
Wow, I have to admit that's one of the more unusual named geocaches.
Absolutely.
Good stuff. Scott, you want to take a stab at one of these?
Yeah, I want to take a run at the TB Races one. I know I'm not a big TB fan, but TB-run.com is one of them. And looking at the site, this has something to do with Groundspeak, correct? I'm assuming?
I think, the one that they bought? Let me see. TB Run. This is the one out of Germany, I think.
It says it shows you all the races. I'm assuming you could start your own race.
Right.
Yeah. So if this is on.
Yeah, registered trademark of Groundspeak Inc. Yeah, this is the one that they don't know.
So basically, if you want to start a TB run with your buddies, you can come here and you can make it official. And I'm sure it'll track everything. I've never done it before, so I'm assuming it's going to track everything that you can do.
Yeah, and according to this right now, they've got trackable 18,153 trackables and races, and active closed races are 698 out of 1,096.
Yeah, here you could. Is it public? Is it when starts, when it ends? How many are in the race? The rules. Oh yeah, you can. So you can set this whole thing up. It's actually kind of nice.
Yeah, this is neat.
Speaking of this, though, I want to tangent really quickly. Because speaking of travel bugs, Andy, do you know anything about the current travel bug race? Somebody asked in the chat room about the current Groundspeak travel bug race.
You mean these?
Wow, guys, that was not even a segue. Seriously, I had no idea.
All right, let me bring the picture over here so that you can see.
The duckies.
There is the seven deadly ducks. That
you bought all seven of them?
I got all six. Actually, the show actually purchased these.
You are such a sucker, man.
Each one's a trackable, and the idea is very simple. Jeremy apparently put out seven trackables for the seven deadly ducks years ago, and one actually got placed into a geocache in Virginia somewhere that never actually got published, so that's lost into the history. So to commemorate this, geocaching.com has come up with this race. I don't have all the details directly in front of me, but basically what it is you have a month. I think it's from July, I want to say 20th to August 20th.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. And the idea is it doesn't have to be these. You can put out a duck-based travel bug. And all the rules are out on the geocaching blog if you want to check it out. And, so they're going out. So I thought it would be cool to do that. So wife Amy and I are going to put a couple of these out, and we might actually put some of these out on the show for GeoSnippets as prizes.
Are you going to try to go for the? So you're going to enter the contest?
Yeah, wife Amy and I are both going to put one out each, and go that way and just see what it has. And it's been a while since I've been in a travel bug race, so
I don't think I've ever been in a travel bug race.
You know, the fun part when I went into the other one that I did years ago, where my travel bug ended up being on some island in a 5-5 west of Ireland somewhere.
Right.
You know, this hidden island that you can only go by boat, and if you do the right signal, you can get to it for the one geocache that's out there. So it didn't do so well in the race, but it was cool because of the 12 people that were in the race together. We had formed friendships over the years just because of that. Because, you know, first you get into the boasting, and then you get into the bragging rights and who's got the most miles in the whole shot, and you talk smack to each other and do all that fun stuff. And we've kept together after all that as well. So it's kind of cool to do stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, one more. I've got the this is one of my favorites. ProjectGC.com. /tool/TB Rescue.
Yes.
The old TB Rescue sites. There used to be a site out there. I know it's not around anymore.
Yeah, they stopped it.
Yeah, the TB Rescue site. But I guess Project GC took it over.
Yes.
In a way. And now they've added it to the repertoire, and where you can go and if you have a the whole point of it, guys, if you don't know, if you have a travel bug and it's stuck
on an island west of Ireland in a small boat someplace.
well somewhere, say it's in Indiana and I live in Chicago and it's 100 miles away and it's a 5-5 and someone's like, hey, I'm going out there, can somebody please grab this for me? If they see it, if somebody goes there, they can see it and they can grab it for you and move it along, So it's kind of a nice thing.
Yeah, I love it.
It's a cute little thing. Yeah, it's a cute little idea.
Yeah, I like it. Keeps things going. Unfortunately, a lot of times, because I'm looking at the ones that are around the Raleigh area, and there's quite a few that people have put out for it and said, hey, could you check? And a lot of them have very similar logs saying things like, it's not in the cache. So, sometimes it's bittersweet when it comes to the results that you want for said travel bug. All right. Let's see. The other one that they had on here, Daryl put out GeoTribes, and unfortunately when I went to check out GeoTribes, they're currently down for update or repair. So I have nothing to go on with that. Do you remember GeoTribes at all? I don't. No, I remember Daryl talking about them and raving about it, but I couldn't for the life of me think of what it was.
I've never heard of it at all. I don't know what it is.
Yeah. And then the other one was GeoCreddy, which I also do not have a lot of information about. It's geocreddy.org. And the idea of this is this service similar to Travelbug or GeoLutins. And tracking things you put in geocaching containers. So apparently with here you have different ways of getting tracking numbers.
Hmm. Oh, yeah, the free tracking number thing, that one.
Yes.
Yep. Yes.
Interesting stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, I love when they have sites like these. That makes me happy. Makes me smile. Then you get a site a site that sells geocaching stuff for stuff like that. Oh, that always makes me smile. To see that this stuff exists and people take the time to do it, because, hey, we all don't have much free time. So how you spend it, if you're not caching, at least you're doing something for the community, which is nice. It's great.
Absolutely. Like now the other one. Now this is so Daryl. I mean, if I had my geekometer card around someplace, this would go all the way to the right. So this is something that Daryl put out, and how do you pronounce this? Andy Podesman map.
I'll say Andy Podes map.
Okay, .com. And basically, if you ever wondered when you said, "Mom, I'm going to dig to China," this will tell you how successful you are going to be if you do that. So basically what happens is you bring up the map and you have it's got two maps of the world. It's got the map on the left of which where you want to start digging. And I'm going to put this here, and for the United States we're just screwed, because this is what happens is if you
all over the Indian Ocean.
Yeah, if you put anywhere in the United States, if you were to dig straight through the earth and come out the other side, it would actually show you where that would happen.
It showed me, yeah. I tried mine.
And anything, it's kind of interesting to know that the United States fits very nicely in the Indian Ocean.
So I tried.
Yeah. But if you were ever wondering what would happen if you dug straight down till you came out the other side, So that whole Superman movie thing where he goes through the entire core of the Earth and comes out the other side, I call foul. Because that's just, you know, didn't happen.
Right. Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, I can't see much use for that site, but it gave me a chuckle for a minute.
Yeah, you know? It's interesting because they do actually have some cities towards where you have absolute city to city. For example, Christchurch in New Zealand comes out in Corona, Spain.
That's pretty cool.
It looks like there's like four countries that this works with. So they've got a bunch of them from New Zealand that can end up in Spain or Morocco. Hong Kong shows up in Argentina. Let's see. Junin, Argentina shows up in, I couldn't pronounce that if I wanted to, in China. So, yeah, Russia goes into Chile. Another one in New Zealand and Spain. So apparently the Earth, when Pangea broke up, it did a good shuffle because you're going to hit water otherwise. It's the way it works.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent stuff.
Yeah.
So fun. Like I said, if there's anything Daryl W. 4, that's Daryl W. 4.
That's so Daryl. Speaking of Daryl, so Daryl, I get a text from him. What's the date? What's Monday?
Yes.
I get a text from Daryl on Monday. This is what the text says from Daryl.
Okay. Let me bring this over so I can click on you. There you go.
Read it to the people who are at work.
It's blurry. I can't
really.
Yeah, I can't read it.
Okay.
Go ahead and read it out.
It says, I developed some nasty cough and a fever early this morning. I'm staying home today and hopefully can kick it quickly. So I'm like, I'm looking at it, and this is, if you can't read the time on that, this is 6:10 a.m. he sends this to me. And so I'm looking at it going, why do I care if Dell's sick or not? So I let him sleep a little bit, and I call him by 11 o'clock Chicago time. And I'm like, Daryl, why are you texting me? You're sick. Why do I care if you're sick? He's like, oh, I sent it to the wrong Scott. Yeah, he also apparently has a boss named Scott.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah, he sent it to the wrong Scott. So, he ditched work because he didn't tell his boss that he was in.
Wow, I hate when that happens.
Yeah,
we hope he feels better, and hopefully, because he's
my point being, he is legitimately sick.
He is legitimately sick.
He texted me on Monday. Legitimately sick.
So hopefully, we'll have him on not too long because he wants to do the interview with all of us, and we want to have him on just because we want to have him on, and that'll be fun.
And get this, hold on, really quickly, my Behringer is coming back. Friday, so I won't be so quiet. If I'm quiet, I apologize. My Behringer. My soundboard had issues, and so I sent it back to the manufacturer to get repaired. And they did repair it. They found something wrong, and it had a compressor issue. So
wow,
it's on its way. I'm currently watching it in FedEx. It's in Memphis right now. It's on its way back. So
it didn't have enough PSI to keep you going.
Something, yeah. It actually legitimately had an issue. So it's it should be back.
Which only showed up when your neighbor was doing stuff at specific times.
Right, yeah. So,
oh, the buzz and all the rest of it.
So next week, hopefully, I'll sound normal again. Hopefully, I will be loud again, not so quiet.
Excellent, excellent.
Yes.
All right. Well, good stuff. Thank you, Scott. Thank you, Chad, for coming on, and thank you, fine folks, for stepping on by to the Geocaching Podcast. We greatly, greatly appreciate it. I think it's time to wrap this puppy up. Thank you, fine folks, for subscribing to the Geocaching Podcast. Please be sure to join us each and every Wednesday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time for another episode of the Geocaching Podcast right here on the Geocaching Podcast website at www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. The video version of our show is available on YouTube. The audio version is available on our home website, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and many of your favorite podcatchers. We love hearing from our viewers and listeners, so please visit us through our social media sites or contact us via our voicemail line at 630-31-VOICE. The Geocaching Podcast is a Head Hard Hat production and is produced by Andy Smith, Scott Burks, Corey Stevens, and Chad Courtney. This show is copyright 2016 by Andrew T. Smith. All rights reserved.